What's up, Noll Nation? It's Jesse from Plant the Spear here for part two of the 2026 Florida State baseball preview. As you guys know, you probably saw part one of the two-part series, and hopefully you guys enjoyed that, where we covered the pitching staff, the defense, talked about the annals of Section B, and just some overall thoughts on the baseball program. And now it's time for part two. We're going to dive into the offensive outlook, what maybe this lineup could look like. We're also going to go through and break down the upcoming schedule, the conference slate, everything like that. We're going to talk about Aaron's Army at the end. Another great conversation that I had with Gary. We just talked so much about baseball that we thought it would be best to break it into two parts. So hopefully you have seen part one. If not, I will link it and you guys can go back and watch that either now or after this one. But this is part two. And so thank you guys for tuning in to both. Now back to the show. And that leads us into the offense, right? And I heard Link say that there is still some uncertainty about what it's going to look like, but you have a lot to work with. And you did lose four of last year's top five in your starting players batting in the top five in batting average. So you got some pieces to replace. But I think when you talk offense, obviously, you have to start with Miles Bailey. I think everybody's mouth is watering to see him in year two after the freshman season that he had. I mean, 327 average, 66 hits, 19 home runs, 56 RBIs. You know, he had 76 strikeouts, but again, I mean, he was adjusting to the college game very early on. And I think what was most impressive is once you saw him kind of get out of that early freshman slump where he just got used to the college game, I can't think of a player who ended the season as red hot as Miles Bailey did. I mean, every time he came to the plate, you just held your breath. Like, This is probably going to be over a scoreboard in a parking lot somewhere or in a different area code. And so, man, I mean, I think the offensive conversation has to start with Miles Bailey. He's racking up all kinds of preseason awards. I mean, it's just so exciting to see a guy like him who could realistically hit 30 home runs this year. I mean, he's that kind of player for you. And so, man, you know, but you also got Cal Fisher, who was a guy who hit over 300 last year. Chase Williams, you know, he dealt with the injury, so he only got 114 ABs, but he hit 342, had 18 stolen bases. Dylan Melier's got some pops, six home runs and only 110 at-bats. Had a little bit of a strikeout issue there that they said he's cleaned up. Eli Putnam, 349 average, 19 home runs, 62 RBIs at Davidson. Braden Dowd, another guy that hit over 300. And then Carnes was knocking on the door of hitting 300 and had six home runs and eight doubles and 133 at-bats. So there's plenty. I'm not going to try and predict a starting lineup because I'm not that smart for baseball to do that. But what I can tell you is you did lose some pieces. But, man, I mean, you look up and down here, you got a lot of guys that are hitting over 300. You got a lot of guys that got pop in their bats. You got a lot of potential sneaky power in this lineup. And so, man, I mean, I'm really excited to see how it shakes out. But, I mean, you've got some really strong bats on the offense this year.
Yeah, I think so. How we had talked about 2 years ago, you know, I really looked at that team like, man, we're going to be a power-hitting team. We're going to hit a lot of home runs. And then last year, I really thought it was going to be a team where it was going to be a lot of station-to-station base hit, and let's get on base and let's run the bases. And then we wound up being a pretty decent power-hitting team last year as well. This year, I think we're going to be kind of leaning more back towards that power hitting again, which, don't get me wrong, I'm all for it, right? That's either end of there. But I think it all depends on kind of how he builds this lineup, right? Like where that power falls, as well as, you know, your lefty-righty stuff. And from what I believe I heard him talking about, we're a little bit more righty-heavy this year in what he's seeing, which is kind of another thing that you can kind of use to kind of figure out where his brain is as far as your starting eight. Because when he leans a little more right heavy, you start kind of looking, you're like, all right, who's that? Hey, man,
yeah.
You know Miles is lefty. All right, where are we going from here? So kind of piecing those things together. Like I said, it all depends on kind of where everybody falls. Where do you put Miles? Do you put Miles three? Do you put him four? You know what I mean? Obviously, you want him to get up with some guys on base, but you don't want him to, you know, you don't want to end up in a situation where you want him to bat cleanup, but when he comes up to bat, it's the second inning because we just had three outs and he's got nobody running, like hitting one. You know, he's only hitting the bomb for one run. You know, so that's kind of why I think maybe instead of, you know, it used to be, right, back in the day, you put your biggest, strongest hitter in the four hole and you told these other guys, just get on base, you know, and you get this big grand slam. now that you don't look at it that way too much anymore, because you're like, look, if we don't get to that, then he's up there and he's just hitting a grand. He's hit a home run for one run.
Yep.
You know, now it's kind of you lean to that big power hitter, kind of putting him somewhere like, you know, putting him in third. You know what I mean? Either third or maybe even fifth. So that way, if he comes up, and you at least get the guy ahead of him on. So, but I think you lean more toward Miles at something like third. I really like Chase. You know, they did an interview on Chase, and they asked him if he liked being a leadoff. He said, not really, but, you know, if that's what the team needs and that's where coach wants me, that's what I'm going to do. You know, they asked him if that was something he really, really liked, and he was open and honest. He's like, not really. That's not really. Not really. No, and I kind of chuckled at that because I'm like, man, that is just pure faithfulness.
At least he's honest.
Dude, he's going to tell you what he thinks, you know, and that's but he says it in a good way, you know what I mean? So you don't get mad at him. He's not like up there, you know, mad or upset or anything like that. He's just like, not really, but I mean, if that's where coach wants me, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to argue it. So but I like him there. You know, he can, we've seen he can put the ball out, you know, he can, he's done it. I think, but his speed to get on base, you know what I mean? Even being able to turn something into a double is pretty simple for him. I would say simple, but it happens more often than not. So having him up there first, you know, I could see somebody like Cal batting second. You know, somebody that in a situation where if Chase doesn't quite get a hold of it or you know, it just happens to go in somebody's glove or whatever the case may be. You put somebody like Cal up there who's got a lot of experience, who's really kind of calmed down at the plate. His pitch selection's gotten a little bit better. Seeing the ball over the plate's gotten a little bit better. You put him somewhere second. Then, like I said, you got Miles third. You know, if it works out this way, I think I like somebody like Carter McCulley batting fourth right after Miles. You know, there's still that – he's still got that pop factor. You know, we saw him in the home run derby. Dude dominated the home run derby. I don't know if you were able to watch that or not. You were, you know, I don't think we televised that answer or whatnot, but, Carter Cully was a dude in the home run derby. So there's somebody with quite a bit of pop there. You know, Eli Putnam, you could, you know, any of these guys, you don't necessarily feel like you lose wherever you put them. You know, you could go Putnam, you know, fifth, Carnes sixth, Delamalor seventh, and then somebody like Dowd, or Dowd seventh, and Delamalor maybe eighth. And then you know, wherever you want to take your DH, if you want to put them ninth, you could put Delamalor ninth, then put your DH eighth, depending on who your DH is going to be. So again, the pieces can be moved anywhere and you'll be happy, right? I think you got your main guys. I really like Chase leading off, and I think I really like Miles at third. Whatever you do from there, it's kind of like that thing with the starting pitchers. Take them on darts, throw it at the wall, and wherever they land, sounds good to me, coach. You know, so, but and that, again, it goes back to that depth. Wherever they are, I think Link's been putting them in different positions, not only on the field, but as far as batting orders go, with guys on, with guys here. Hey, is this guy able to put it the opposite way when we really need to be able to get this guy in from third? Things like that. You know, those are the things we just want to see a guy hit it out of his park, right?
Yeah.
Everybody that's up there in the stands is like, you know, me, I want to see a guy that if we got a guy on third and we got two outs, send it oppo, you know, in the gap, get him home. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Give me the run. If we get the run and we score and the next guy coming up's got the pop and you're on first and you don't have the speed to steal, then let's try to get one out of the park there, right? Let's score two the easy way. But, you know, I want guys that can hit balls where they need to be hit in the situation, you know. Talked about situational baseball as far as pitching goes and the defense goes. Situational baseball happens with offense too. You know, obviously the first part is you got to get your bat on the ball. You know, it's not an easy thing to do especially against some of the top tier pitching that we're going to see. But, you know, we're also, these guys are seeing some pretty top tier pitching going into preseason with the guys that we got throwing at them. So, and now with the new machine and everything else, you can pretty much tailor that machine to who it is that you're going to face. So you can, you know, you can kind of start getting, seeing that spin, seeing that, that release point, things like that. So that going into this year is kind of another one of those tools we talk about where we've already seen things be good now with these tools. How much better is it going to be? So, you know, as far as locking in a lineup goes, I don't know if I could do it either. I do know I like Chase first. I like Miles third. You know, you could maybe throw Cal second, and that'd probably be about as solid as I would go with it. And I know that's kind of cheating, because I feel like those are three guys on the defensive side that are pretty locked in.
Yeah.
So I'm shying away from saying other guys' names, because who knows who those guys are going to be and in what positions. I feel like those three guys are pretty much set that are going to be out there. So probably just taking the easy way out, but I'm going to take it. Keep moving.
I don't blame you, man. But like you said, I mean, everyone wants to see the exciting, the, you know, the home run, the 99-yard touchdown pass, all that stuff. But it's the situational baseball. It's the ripping off, you know, to football terms, it's ripping off 6 yards on a first down or whatever. Those are the things that add up over time, the situational baseball that leads to success. And so, like you said, man, you just feel like he's going to get it figured out. You're going to maximize the talents that you have on the offensive side of things too. And there will be some shuffling, of course, and we'll see how it plays out over the first couple weeks of the season, which brings us to one of our last topics that we're going to talk about here, which is just, let's just do some kind of overall thoughts on the schedule. As again, opening day is less than 2 weeks away. Obviously, Florida State opens up with 4 weeks of non-conference play before beginning ACC play. And it is going to be a little bit of a tougher start to this season, right? I mean, you got JMU up first, that you did sweep them last year. Link has swept them twice since he's been here so far. So, I mean, you feel pretty good about that one. But, man, then you go on the road to Arlington, and you have to face Michigan, Auburn, and Nebraska. All three of those teams finished top 70 in RPI last year. Auburn is currently top 10 preseason per D1 baseball, sitting at number 9. So, I mean, that challenge out in Arlington is it's going to test you early, right? And then you come home, you got the Citadel, you got Northern Kentucky to kind of wrap up your non-conference weekend slate. Then, of course, you got some midweeks there against Jacksonville, North Florida, and Mercer. But, you know, you got some ones you feel pretty good about, but you also got a little bit more of a tougher test going on the road to face teams like Michigan, Auburn, and Nebraska before you get into conference play, which we'll talk about next.
Yeah, you know, let's not shy away from the whole JMU thing. Yeah, we've swept them, but those have been some games, right?
Yes, sir.
You know, we had to earn that, you know, and I understand it's non-conference and this, that, and the other, but, that you know, college baseball, it's not like college football, whereas, oh, you're in this conference, you're never going to play for this. Oh, these guys got just as good a chance to go play for it as anybody. All right, so that's why I also love college baseball, is it's, you know, you can really build a team in baseball and take it and go be that Cinderella story that makes it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Carolina back in 16. I mean, you know, and now they're right back in it again. They're building up, and they're going to be solid team again this year. So, you know, we had to earn those things with JMU. Then we've got a Tuesday before we head out to Arlington against Jacksonville. We've historically done pretty well against Jacksonville as well. However, there had been some games there where we had battled it out. You know, they come out red hot, and we got to withstand that early, you know, fight. And then the longevity sometimes tends to be what helps us.
Yeah.
And thing with JMU, you know, some of those guys, those games, they come out and it's like real close. And then you start getting into those later innings where, for us, the pitching works in our favor. And then our bats are able to kind of take over with their, when they have to get deep into their pitching. And that's kind of where we're able to separate ourselves from teams like that. The situation with going out to Arlington, you know, I'm just going to say I hate it. No, I'm kidding. I only hate it because I can't go. No, I only say that because I can't go. I really wish I could be out there. I think that's going to be a really cool environment. You know, it's a huge test. Those are big programs. And let's be honest. 2 years ago, when we played Auburn over in Panama City,
Pensacola,
whatever that other P name is, that's a that was a solid team, you know. And obviously, yeah. we didn't have a set team set out and everything else, and it was just kind of fall ball, figuring things out or whatever. But you know, that's a real program, and they're gonna be good in the SEC. Nebraska, I'll be completely honest with you, I don't know a whole lot about Nebraska baseball, so that's gonna be cool for me just to be able to see something different. I mean, let's be honest. I spend most of my time at Hauser on the weekends. I don't get to watch a whole lot of other baseball other than who we're playing, who we're going to play. I'll kind of look into. Nebraska's not somebody that I see us playing a whole lot. North Florida, that's a fun team that we, you know, we're able to – I think that's a game where as long as we play the way we're supposed to, we can kind of start seeing those other pieces that we talked about getting rotated in during that game to kind of build some things up and kind of see what guys look like. That Citadel weekend, especially because I'm looking at dates right now. So North Florida is the 25th. That weekend for me is going to be ridiculous. So you got North Florida February 25th, all right? That's Tuesday or on Wednesday. Thursday, you got the Savannah Bananas playing in Hauser. I'm sorry, it's the Firefighters against the Loco Nuts, but that's banana ball.
Yeah.
Here, right, in Hauser, which I'm kind of excited about because Logan Lacey plays for the Firefighters. He's coming back to play in Hauser, so that's going to be kind of cool. And then, you know, you run right into Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you got a three-game series against the Citadel. So, and that's a team that you really should, you don't need to take lightly. They're going to bring a good squad of players. But, man, from Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, your boy's going to be at Hauser every day. So, you know, luckily with the Savannah Bananas, I kind of was hoping that with them coming here, you know, not asking for anything, I kind of was hoping that they would kind of reach out to us and say, hey, we understand you guys are kind of a big part of this stadium and what makes this stadium, you know, a focal point for us to want to come to, other than the fact that it's Florida State, that's, you know, one of the most storied baseball programs in the country. I was kind of hoping they'd reach out to us, be like, hey, we want to get some of that animal action out here, you know, and kind of,
yeah,
into that. Well, what I understand, man, we haven't really got into that. So, you know, but that'll be a game where I'm able to just kind of enjoy it. You know, we're going to get into talking about it a little bit here in a minute, but, you know, before my son was diagnosed, we were actually supposed to go see the Savannah Bananas up in Charlotte, at the Panthers Stadium. And, we ended up having to get rid of those tickets because he ended up getting diagnosed and was sick. So we weren't able to go. So luckily one of my friends was able to reach out to me because we didn't win the lottery. One of my friends or something was like, hey, look, I got some extra tickets for this Thursday. Would you want to go? I said, absolutely. So I'll be able to take my son to go see that. And it'll be a time where we just kind of get to hang out and enjoy baseball. Because the night before, obviously, I'll be screaming my head off. And then, you know, the 3 days after that, we'll be going nuts again. So it's going to be a long stretch of baseball. Obviously, I don't mind watching it, but I think that Monday I might need to punch out and just kind of
close. Might as well just bring a tent and a lunchbox and just camp out in the parking lot. I mean, because it's going to be a long week.
You know, I've got a camper and I know that during football season they let people park campers at the Civic Center. So I don't know if that's something we might need to work out with parking it over there at the Oaks at Doak where we tailgate and just hooking up the generator and letting it run. But so, you know, you push through that. And then, you know, again, you got another game with Jacksonville. And then you talked about the Mercer game. Mercer's always got a good baseball team. And then I know absolutely zero about Northern Kentucky. So that's going to be an interesting series. I'll be kind of looking ahead at what they're doing before we see them, just to kind of see how they shake out, what that looks like. You know, 2 years ago, we had a team start out, what was it, 19-0, 21-0, yeah. Something like that. You know, you don't, you know, and then you get these people that are like, oh, man, we're going to go undefeated all season. No, you're not.
No, that rarely happens in baseball.
Dude, we play way too many games in baseball for that. If somebody does that, write them down as the best college baseball team ever, right? You know, you're just not going to have – that's just not going to be the case. There's going to be a day where somebody just hits the ball better than you do, you know, and it stinks, but it's going to happen. You know, going right off of that, and we'll kind of move into the next little segment of the schedule. The next game going into that is at Florida. I've got it dead set this year. 2 years ago, I went to Gainesville. I went to Jacksonville and was at the game in Tallahassee. Last year, I went to the game in Jacksonville, was at the game in Tallahassee, did not go to Gainesville. This year I am dead set that I will do all three again. You know, especially after last year being in Jacksonville for Alex Lodice's remarkable baseball feat that nobody in the history of baseball has ever seen. And my eyes were there to see it in person. That was pretty cool. You know, that's obviously for me, we talked about certain things being other than my top 10, right about number 5, that probably is at number 1 for me, because, you know, that's baseball history. That's not just FSU baseball history. So that,
yeah, I think when he did that, I mean, the way I reacted, you'd have thought, like, and I love Florida State baseball, I love Florida State football, you'd have thought Florida State won a football national championship. I mean, just to see it, and against Florida, it was just amazing, right? It was just an amazing feat, and to be against the Gators too, it made it even sweeter. You know, one thing you talked about is you can never overlook the smaller teams like a Jacksonville. I mean, we're going to get into it, but Stetson's on the schedule, and Stetson is no joke for a small team. I mean, they were taking out a lot of Florida teams last year. But like you said, man, you got Florida number 13 preseason that's in there with that midweek series. And then you get into conference play. And I mean, if for everything the ACC may or may not be in football, it's a dominant baseball conference. I mean, you look at the schedule and it is no joke. You have to go to number 21 Wake. Now, these are preseason rankings, of course, but right. To number 21 Wake Forest, home against number 17 NC State, home against Duke, at Virginia, who's a solid squad, just like Duke is, at number 5 Georgia Tech, home against Notre Dame, at Stanford, versus Pitt, at number 19 Clemson, versus number 22 Miami. 5 of your 10, literally 50% of your 10 ACC opponents are ranked preseason D1 in D1 baseball's top 25. So, and 3 of them are on the road. So, I mean, this conference schedule, once you get into it, including Florida, I mean, it's a tough schedule. So, like you said, you're never going to see a baseball team go undefeated, right? But you just want to be able to do enough through that schedule to be where you want to be at the end of the season. But, man, I mean, that conference schedule is no joke.
Yeah, I think what a lot of people need to focus more on is, like, let's win the series. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you beat everybody, but, like, let's try to win the series. You know what I mean? Let's go 2 or 3. Because you win the series, you're finishing higher regardless. You know, Wake's going to be an interesting opponent this year. Obviously, Florida's always Florida, because we always want to beat Florida and destroy Florida. So that is what it is. NC State, you know, that's a fun one. That's, you know, Link's son coaches at NC State, so that's an interesting one. So that's always fun for them when they come here and we go there. Duke's going to be a squad. They're always going to be a squad. You know, it's funny that we're talking about how good the ACC is in baseball. My wife and I, the kids, we just went to the first draw. It's a thing that they did for the kickoff of the new women's lacrosse program that we've got here. They had that this Monday, and we went to that. And now I know absolutely zero about lacrosse, but I am going to support the lacrosse program. I'm bought in. James Tibbs' sister, Mary Grace Tibbs, she just transferred here from VCU. She plays lacrosse, and so she'll be on the inaugural Florida State women's lacrosse team. So obviously I'm pretty close with that family, so we're super invested in that. But one thing that the coach was explaining, she said, so when it comes to why they've got such good talent that has showed up for that first team, apparently, this is news to me because I know nothing about it, the ACC dominates women.
Oh, yeah.
So she's literally talking about, she's like, trust me when I tell you this, we want to win an ACC title. We want to win a national championship. She said, but it is easier to win a national title than it is an ACC championship.
And I believe it.
I'm like, whoa. Like,
yeah,
that's a big statement, you know? And, you know, but when she said that, I kind of was like, man, that kind of sounds like baseball.
Yeah.
You know, like, we got it. It's a tough road to hoe to try to win an ACC title anymore, you know? And, you know, we were blessed a few years back to win quite a few, obviously, but it's been a tough road to hoe lately because the ACC baseball is strong. So what you're saying with that I call it a gauntlet of a schedule that we've got after all the non-conference stuff, you know, you almost kind of start looking forward to let's do the best we can. Let's get into postseason play because I'm tired of looking at these guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's again, when you have a schedule like that, like you said, you just want to be hot at the right time. You want to do enough to get the series win so you can be where you want to be at the end of the season. But, you know, again, you're going to be tough tested. I mean, if you get to the postseason, you're not going to see a whole lot that's tougher than what you face in those regular seasons. And so you'll be battle tested. I mean, what was it when we went to Omaha? It was what, 4 ACC, 4 SEC? I think that was the ones that remained standing. So, I mean, you got 4 out of 8 teams in Omaha. You're doing something. And so, man, I mean, again, obviously we're looking forward to the season coming up, less than 2 weeks away from the opening day, and just a lot of excitement around this baseball program and what they're going to do this season. Lots of fun games, lots of fun series at Housers. I mean, obviously you get Miami there, NC State there. There's a lot of big series coming up that's going to be really exciting. You know, one of the exciting things about this baseball program, man, is I have heard – that they have an ace up their sleeve with a new signee this offseason, which we are going to talk about now. Man, so excited to see this. It was such an awesome, just awesome event that they did. And I loved seeing this on social media. And I'd love it to hear straight from you guys with the signing of Aaron to the team, man. It was a huge deal. I love seeing it. Again, it's what we talk about with it's the heart in the program. That's what makes Florida State baseball so special, man. And so really just a cool story that I can't wait to hear about. Obviously I'll let you elaborate on all that stuff. I did see on the Instagram page that, of course, by God's grace, that he was in remission as of late December. Hopefully that is still the case, man. Obviously this still remaining on the treatment plan, as you had said, but man, just tell me about Aaron's journey. Tell me about that signing day experience. And then, you know, also tell me how people can get involved in helping out the case of Aaron's Army, because again, we always want to help out fellow Seminoles. So, man, I'll kick it to you. But just a truly awesome gesture by the program for such a special kid and a special family, man. And again, by God's grace, I believe he's still in remission. And so, man, we are definitely keeping Aaron in our thoughts and prayers here with me and Michael at Plant the Spirit. Man, I can't wait to hear about this.
Yeah, you know, when we got approached about joining with Team Impact. I kind of talked to Randy a little bit about it, and he said, you know, we looked at getting on with this program, and Team Impact actually reached out to me, and they said, you know, we do this thing with kids that are suffering with chronic illnesses, and you know, we paired them with NCAA programs. Is this something that you'd be interested in? And I was like, yeah, you know, that'd be kind of neat. We're located here in Tallahassee, and I want to say it was maybe like 3 days later. And Randy Burdett reached out to me. He's like, hey, so we were actually going to start doing this thing with this Team Impact where they take kids with chronic illnesses and then pair them with NCAA programs. And they talked to Coach Jarrett and I about it, and we're really interested in doing it. And they told us that, and, all right, well, we'll find you a kid. And this is only a week or so after Aaron's diagnosis had come out. And they basically told Team Impact, they're like, we already have a kid. And, well, we don't normally do that. We normally pair you with a kid. And they basically told Team Impact, they're like, if you want us to do this, we already have a kid.
Yeah.
So the process for Team Impact was like super expedited because the way they kind of explain things and they kind of go through things are like, look, we're going to have to read all this stuff because we're trying to train people on how to go about doing it. But we just want you to, you know, just kind of go with us. I'm like, look, no worries. I was like, this will be the easiest process you've ever had. I was like, because obviously we've already got a strong connection with the program. He's already got a close tie with a lot of players. So, but, you know, going back to right when Aaron was first diagnosed, you know, within the first, I want to say 3 days, I ended up getting a text message from Coach Jarrett, you know, reaching out to us. And I had reached out to Miss Jen Jarrett and let her kind of know what was going on. You know, just, you know, there are people that we've kind of been in touch with. And, you know, to get a text message come through on my phone from Coach Jarrett, you know, just saying, hey, just let you know that we're, you know, we're praying for you guys. We're thinking about you. And then the very last thing was, you know, I'd really like to set up a time where I can call and talk to Aaron. And I'm like, wow. You know, like,
that's awesome.
You know, that's for a guy like that to take some time. You know, he took 45 minutes out of his day and spoke with Aaron on phone 3 days into being in the hospital. And that, you know, just kind of encouraged him and, you know, told him, like, look, you know, you got a whole team back here fighting for you and praying for you. And you know, we're rooting for you to get back here as soon as possible. And, you know, Aaron really, he feeds off of that. You know, he's a baseball kid through and through, loves the sport, loves Florida State baseball. That's his happy place. You know, we could spend every day in Hauser and it wouldn't even have to be a game. It could just be watching those guys hit and throw the ball around the diamond. And he and I'd be, we'd be as happy as can be. So for them to pair up with Team Impact, and then, you know, I've seen other signings and stuff that Team Impact has done, and they do a lot of different things. A lot of schools do it differently. There's no set way for them to do this. You know, they're kind of still working the kinks out and how they're going to go about doing things. And man, the way that Florida State put that together, you know, in the legacy room, you got all the trophies and all the rings around you. Every one of the guys is sitting in there in a chair facing the table where Coach Jarrett and Aaron and myself are sitting there, and we're looking at all the guys. The rest of the coaches are off to the side. We've got family over here. You know, there's four cameras in front of us. You know, they really did it up, you know, in the words of Jameis Winston, they really did it big for him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he played baseball, so I could drop that one.
Yeah.
You know, they made it special for him, you know, and he's still, now he can, off camera, he can sit down, he can tell you all about his diagnosis, he can tell you all about his treatments, he can explain things to you better than I can. You know, but it takes him a minute to kind of work through that and get to where he's come from. I mean, he just turned 9 years old, you know, in January. So it's a big thing, but man, the way that he's handled it, is just awe-inspiring. You know, a kid inspires me every day. I talked about it with the Democrat and WCTV while we were there, about how I've kind of started my own journey with weight loss and trying to get some of this weight off and things like that to be better for him and better for all of our kids. And there's days where I'm like, man, this is tough. And it's like, if my 9-year-old can go through this, I got no excuse to just get out of gym or do whatever I got to do, or, you know, not eat that stupid thing that I shouldn't eat, you know what I mean? Or get up and make the better meal or whatever the case may be. I got no excuse. So he's, you know, he motivates me in that aspect every day. But that whole day, you know, it started the day before we ended up going to see the Harlem Globetrotters and the people that work at the Tucker Center. Man, just FSU as a whole and everything that they've done for us. So it's been incredible. But we went to go see the Harlem Globetrotters the night before, and the people at the Civic Center found out that my daughter had done a scavenger hunt to get tickets for her brother to be able to go see it. And they reached out to the Harlem Globetrotters, told them the whole story told them about Aaron. Next thing you know, we're going to doing a meet and greet to the Harlem Globetrotters before it starts. And then the guy tells me, he's like, hey, by the way, you guys have been selected as our golden seat, our golden ticket of the night. So we're going to upgrade your seat. So we watched like the first 10 minutes of the game from like our regular seats that my daughter won in the scavenger hunt. Next thing you know, we're sitting on the bench with the Harlem Globetrotters with the second quarter and the whole second half. You know what I mean? And then after the game, they rope off the court, take us in the middle of the court. He's getting autographs from everybody, dribbling with the players. You know, they'd spin the ball on his finger. He has not stopped talking about it. And it turned, you know, it originally started out as something I'm like, I don't know if he'll really like this or not, but we'll kind of see. And, you know, and he's asking me, what is this? Like, what is it like? Are they playing basketball? Is it a show? I'm like, it's both. And he goes, so is it like banana ball for basketball? I'm like, kind
of. That's a good way to describe it.
So I'm like, kind of. That sounds, that's, I guess that worked. So, you know, I didn't really know how he was going to enjoy it. But, man, he still talks about it to this day. And he's got, you know, they gave him a full-size basketball. All the people signed it. They all took pictures with him. You know, we've got the Aaron's Army bands, and every one of the baseball players at Florida State wears one of these. Now, every one of the women lacrosse players have one of these, including the coaches. The coaching staff also has them. Coach Derrett wears his. That almost brings a tear to my eye every time I see the fact that Coach Derrett's wearing one. But you know, we've been spreading these things far and wide, and, there's quite a few guys on the football team that are wearing them. And, but that day for him to have all those guys be there for him. And, you know, then when, oh man, this was my favorite part of the whole day. And it was the end of the day. And it's in that video that FSU uploaded to their Instagram and their Facebook. When he got to break the team down with the Knowles on three, 1, 2, 3, and they all in that legacy room. I don't know if you've ever been in a legacy room, but it's not a very big ring, right? They all say Knowles with this deep toned voice at the same time after he started it. Dude, it gave me chills. Still gives me chills right now thinking about it.
Yeah.
I watched that video so many times just because of that part. It is so cool to me that they let him do that and that he's going to continue to be a part of the program for the next 2 years. Obviously, you know, in a different capacity than normal because they're going to try to make things a little bit more special for him to be a part of the team, but it's not like we're going anywhere after that. You know what I mean? So
right.
It's going to be something that's going to stick with him forever. But, you know, to kind of see how it's more than baseball, right? This is life. This is family. And it's something that somebody's really dealing with. And, you know, we are still, luckily, you know, by God's grace, we are still in remission right now. And I say we because we treat it as one, like we're a family and we're all that way. But you know, kind of going forward where he's at right now, he was supposed to start a new treatment today. But unfortunately his levels and everything were too low. So they ended up giving him some blood today. They've stopped all his medicine for this week, and next week they'll test him again. And if his levels are backed up, he'll be admitted for 4 days to run through some chemo. And he's got to do this where every other week he's admitted for 4 days. He'll run through that for about 2 months. So it's going to be a little bit hit and miss on having him at Hauser kind of getting started. At the end of those treatments, he's got a backpack that carries a pump, and it's got a bag of his chemo medicine in it that runs 24 hours a day, and it's changed out every 7 days, but it gives him a lot more freedom. His numbers stay higher because the doses are so much lower, and he's able to kind of get out and about and go around. The day of his signing, the day right before that, my wife actually drove him down to Gainesville so that they could de-access his port because that was his last day on the backpack. So he was on the backpack the day before, and then the day of his signing was the day that he was just off the backpack, so he was able to be kind of free roam and didn't have anything tying him down. So that was nice, especially for that day. But you know, not just Florida State, but this entire community here has really rallied around us and done a lot for us. You know, sometimes I wish my wife would stay off the Google machine. Yeah. Because there are certain things I'm like, man, I could have rather not known that. But, you do what you can, you know, and that's what you can do. But there's no denying that the financial aspect of this is absurd. And I don't mean that in a negative light, but I mean, it's the reality of it. But, you know, trying to figure out what something like this is going to entail and then her Googling and seeing for what he has and what the cost could be, it could range anywhere from $1 to $3 million a year, you know, and obviously you got insurance that covers some of it, but then, you know, the things that you got to do outside of the medical aspect, the travel, the, you know, if you got, you got to have to stay in a hotel, because right now we have a room in the Ronald McDonald House, but that, you know, who's to say that they get full, you know, they have to rotate those rooms out because they've got other needs or whatever. Then we're back to square one where we're paying for hotels every week or every other weekend or whatever the case may be. So, I mean, you know, there's that aspect of it. And obviously the initial surge of support got us kind of to this point where we're at now. You know, and we've been extremely tight about, you know, whatever comes in through that GoFundMe or whatever. It's in its own separate savings where it's gaining interest. Obviously, they don't give you tons of interest on things like that, where you need to be able to pull it out at its spur of a nose, you know, drop of the hat because of this situation or whatever. But, you know, that all has stayed separate and does exactly what it's supposed to do for him. You know, that's up, obviously still up and running. That's not something that we'll take down. But there's a, you know, there's a lot of other things that have happened here in the community to try to help out and do things for us. And, you know, we can't say thank you enough. I'm not a guy who, you know, is able to ask for help. I don't think many men are, you know, being able
to. Yeah, I'm the same way.
That's just not something we're wired to do. But man, when you end up in a situation like this, yeah, you kind of got to check your ego at the door a little bit and say, look, you know, every little bit helps, and we, you know, we greatly appreciate it. But it's tough. It's tough to check the ego. It is. But, you know, from square one, I'm going to do whatever I got to do for my sons. So, but, you know, where we're at with Florida State and what's been going on there, you know, it obviously makes, if it keeps a smile on his face, keeps one on my face. So, and he's done that throughout this entire process. It's kept a smile on his face and continues to battle. Kids, he's a tough kid, and you know, I can't be any more proud of him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to hear it. And, you know, it just shows you that there's so many things bigger than the game. It's life. Life is real, man. And, you know, as someone, I struggle in silence too, you know, as a man, and versus asking for help. And I work in a healthcare field, so I see a lot of the stuff firsthand, and it's hard, man, especially when it comes to children. And they're so, like you said, they're so tough about it. Like they still smile, they still have fun. It's hard on them, but they take it better than most adults do. And so you just want to help out, and it's so amazing to hear all the stories, that the things that uplift his spirit, because that's really what it's all about. I mean, that's, you just got to be there as best you can. And I encourage anyone who can donate to the GoFundMe to check it out, because, you know, again, it's no, when we say no family, we mean it more than just a catchphrase or whatever. Like, it really is a Seminole family. We're here for each other. And so it's just amazing to hear the story. And of course, we're going to keep following Aaron's journey and keep him in our thoughts and prayers. And hopefully this, I have no confidence or no question that he's going to whip this thing without a doubt. You know, you just got to get through the journey. And again, we're going to keep him in our thoughts and prayers. So love to hear the stories. And man, we just hope for the best for all of you guys, for your entire family. And I love the way the community's rallied around you and will continue to do so. So man, Gary, like, it doesn't feel like we've been talking for almost 2 hours, but I think we've just about hit everything that needs to be covered with this baseball team from top to bottom. And I've really enjoyed this conversation. I hope that if you're a Florida State baseball fan, that you enjoyed the conversation as well, and you've enjoyed this preview for the season. Obviously, again, less than 2 weeks from opening day, lots of reason to be excited. I can't wait. I mean, we need Link and Lonnie to save us, because the way the football and basketball programs are playing right now, golly, we need some positivity in the Florida State fan world. So, man, again, as we get ready to close this thing out, man, I'll just say from my side of things, for Planting the Spirit, look, if you enjoy this type of stuff, definitely hit the like and subscribe button on the YouTube channel. Rate and review on the podcast helps us reach other Noel fans. Again, we're committed to covering baseball because we love it, and that's what we want to do. I know sometimes, you know, football is the bread and butter, but that doesn't mean that we're not, or the meat and potatoes, but that doesn't mean we don't like a little carbs on the side. So we're gonna definitely bring you guys baseball coverage. And man, I just cannot thank you enough for coming on here and helping me preview this upcoming baseball season. So as we get out of here, man, I just want to say thank you for coming on. And if you have anything you want to plug at the end here, anywhere people want to find you on social media, anything like that, follow Aaron's journey. However, I'll give you the floor to go ahead and pitch that, and then we'll close this thing out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, most people can find me. I'm on Instagram and Facebook just as my name, Gary Davis. But I encourage, you know, anybody and everybody out there, if you've got an Instagram, Aaron's Army, the number 4 is Aaron's Instagram. Believe it or not, we've got it now where he's able to kind of keep up with that, and he can check in on that and check his messages and that and see. And going forward, and, you know, he watches those numbers go up, and it inspires him, and it, you know, and it tickles him. You know, he gets excited. He's like, oh, man, Dad. He's like, I'm going to catch you soon. You know what I mean? As far as people about, I'm like, buddy, you ain't got far to go. But trust me, not that many people like me. They like you way better. So, but, you know, so Aaron's Army 4, you know, if people can go out and follow him on Instagram, like I said, that really, it does a lot for him. You know, if you go on there, you can kind of find the links to the TikTok videos and stuff that we've done for him. A lot of the players, past and present, have sent him things, gifts, and so on and so forth. Actually got a couple of them up here behind me. One of the most recent ones was Miles Bailey sent him a box and sent him some brand new cleats that are autographed.
Nice.
Those are actual Miles Bailey unworn cleats that are both autographed. And he's like, you got to put those up. But he's pretty proud of those. There's a picture of him in one of Miles Bailey's practice jerseys with those cleats on. It looks pretty funny, but he smiles the whole time he wears it. But, you know, sharing those videos and keeping them going, you know, just kind of, like I said, that keeps a smile on his face when he sees it. And, you know, if you go follow him on Instagram and shoot him a message, like I said, he sees all that stuff, and he shoots some messages to the coaches every now and then. Michael Posey is one of the ones that converses with him quite a bit. And I go back and check their messages, and I'm like, dude, you know, he's busy. He's like, well, he answers me.
Right.
So I'm like, look, man, if he answers you, you keep right on doing it. That's no worries. But no, I appreciate you having me on. And, you know, like you said, it doesn't feel like we've been talking about it that long, but I told you at the beginning, I can talk about FSU baseball until I'm blue in the face. And yeah, you know, we got Link's going to get us where we need to be happy. Lonnie's going to do the same. And like I told you, don't forget about that women's lacrosse. Just kind of keep an ear out, because I think they're going to do big things this year too. So, and, I'll be sure to keep you updated. Don't worry. But if you want to do another one of these, you know, throughout the season or whatever, you know how to find me. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, we'll definitely do. I mean, women's sports saves us for the lacrosse team. So let's just say that soccer is another one of those. But we will definitely have to sit down and do these more often, man. Because again, I know people, like, you know, the baseball crowd might not be as big as the football crowd, but they are as dedicated as any. And so I know they love the coverage whenever we get it out. So again, I appreciate you coming on, man. I really enjoyed this, and I look forward to doing it again sooner than later, man. So with that being said, we will wrap it up again. February the 13th, the season kicks off against JMU in Houser. Cannot wait, man. It's going to be a fun and exciting season. So
if I'm sitting with the animals, I got you a spot.
Yes, sir. I look forward to it. Until the next one, guys, I appreciate y'all watching. And as always, go Noles.
Go Noles.